5100, and if you press the number 5, you'll be able to speak to someone and see how you can get internet access and laptops for your children. Again, we just want to thank everyone for participating today, and we look forward to a very productive call.
And now I would like to hand over the mic to Dr. Jen Rosen, who is the Chief Vaccine Preventable Disease Surveillance of the Department of Health and Mental Hygiene. She will be able to discuss a little bit about history, symptoms, statistics, myths and facts, safety measures regarding social distancing and cleanliness and care. And I also want to thank Councilmember Farrah Lewis for her introductory of updates in the city level. Thank you, Dr. Rosen.
Great. Thanks so much for having me here today. For some background about coronavirus-19 or COVID-19, symptoms that it can cause include fever, cough, shortness of breath, and sore throat. Most people who become infected have very mild illness and recover fully, but certain groups of people are at high risk for serious complications. And those high-risk groups include people aged 50 and older, people with chronic heart and lung disease, people with diabetes, cancer, and people who are immunocompromised. The primary way that it's believed to be spread is through close contact between two people when one person is infected and coughs and sneezes through respiratory droplets. It's possible that there may be some transmission of the virus from surfaces, but this is probably not the primary way that it is spread. And although there's still a lot to learn about this virus, it's most likely that people who are most contagious are people who have symptoms of the infection. So, for example, people who are actively coughing or sneezing. There's no approved treatment or vaccine at this time, but studies are underway in the U.S., China, and elsewhere. However, the earliest a vaccine would be available would be at least 12 months from now. In New York City, there's widespread community transmission, and that means that the source of people's infection is not known. Cases are occurring in people who have had no travel outside of New York City. As mentioned before, there have been over 3,000 laboratory-confirmed cases in New York City and 22 deaths. Cases have occurred in all boroughs. And it's important to note that the reported case counts significantly underestimate the true burden of disease, and that's because most people are not getting tested as outpatients. The majority of the cases that have occurred have been in adults, and over 500 people have been hospitalized, of whom about 30% have been in the intensive care unit. These numbers are rapidly changing. Given that there's community-wide transmission, everybody should act as if they've been exposed, regardless of whether or not they've had contact with someone who had a lab-confirmed test. So everybody should think of themselves as exposed or possibly exposed, and for this reason, everybody in New York City should practice social distancing, regardless of whether you are well or sick. All New Yorkers should stay home and avoid all unnecessary events. So what should you do if you develop symptoms, if you get sick and develop symptoms of COVID-19? So if your symptoms are mild, you should stay home, unless your symptoms are due to another chronic health condition like asthma or emphysema, in which case you should contact your doctor. If you're sick and your symptoms don't improve after 3 to 4 days, you should also contact your doctor. As long as you don't have serious illness, ideally it's best to call the doctor rather than go in to seek medical care. And the reason why we're asking people who have mild illness to stay home is because going to a medical office will increase the spread of the disease. It both you can spread it to other people, or even if you don't have COVID-19 and you have something else, you could be exposed to others. And we also need to preserve our resources so that people who are very sick can get the care that they need. If you do develop mild symptoms of COVID-19, It's recommended that you stay home through 7 days after your symptoms first begin and through 3 days after you are fever-free without the use of medicine that reduces your fever. So, for example, Tylenol or ibuprofen. And your symptoms should also be improving. If you need help getting medical care, if you don't have a doctor and you're sick and you need medical care, you can call 311 and you can get care in New York City regardless of your immigration status or regardless of your ability to pay. We've gotten a lot of questions about testing, so I wanted to spend some time talking about that. There's no indication for testing in an outpatient setting. Testing needs to be reserved for hospitalized people with severe illness. And this is for several reasons. For one thing, knowing your results will not change your management. At this point in time, there's no treatment, so you won't receive any treatment if you have COVID-19, and the recommendation, regardless of your test result, will be to stay home. Also, as mentioned before, going to a medical facility to get tested results in more exposures. You're putting other people at risk, and you're also putting yourself at risk by being exposed to other patients. And lastly, unnecessary testing reduces supplies needed for testing the more severe hospitalized cases. So for hospitalized cases, testing is important because although there's no treatment for COVID-19, there is treatment for other conditions, and so knowing that someone has COVID-19 versus something else can impact a hospitalized person's management. In New York City, we've implemented multiple community-level measures to focus on social distancing, and some of these things, as I'm sure you're all very aware of, include recommendations for teleworking and staggered work hours. As you know, we have the country's largest school system, and schools have closed citywide. Unnecessary services have stopped, and there's a ban on gathering of 50 or more people. There are several things that you can do to protect yourself and others, and these include things that we should be doing all the time anyway. You know, it's also flu season, and so one of the most important things is washing your hands for at least 20 seconds, or if soap is not available, using an alcohol-based hand sanitizer, covering your cough or covering your nose when you sneeze using a tissue or your arm. It's also really important to get your flu shot. There's still very high activity levels of flu right now, and although the flu shot will not protect you against COVID-19, it will prevent you from getting flu, which has very similar symptoms to COVID-19 and can be equally as severe in high-risk people. And also, if you're a high-risk person, so if you're elderly or you have underlying medical conditions, although we're telling everybody to stay home and social distance, it's extremely important for people in the high-risk groups. We also get a lot of questions about masks. And the routine use of face masks is not recommended if you are not sick. Masks are not needed for general or routine use outside of healthcare settings. Even for jobs that require frequent interaction with the public, the masks are not recommended. But bear in mind that people wear face masks for many reasons. So some people wear them because of seasonal allergies or pollution or to protect others from a common cold. And as many of you know, in addition, some staff are required to use masks per their organization's protocol for reasons unrelated to COVID-19, in which case, of course, people should wear them as per their job requirements. But people should not be harassed or targeted for wearing a mask. So we're all in this together, and we need to take care of ourselves and our family members. If you're feeling anxious, stressed, or overwhelmed, you can connect with trained counselors at NYC Well, and this is the city's 24/7 confidential helpline. And the phone number to reach them, it's 888-NYC-WELL, W-E-L-L, or the phone number is 888-692-9355. You can also text WELL or chat online at nyc.gov/NYCWELL. And I just want to end with the importance of staying informed. There's a lot of information about coronavirus on social media and even in some news reports. And a lot of this is actually misinformation that's not based on facts. Make sure that you're getting your information about COVID-19 from trusted sources like the Department of Health, the New York City Department of Health website. And you can always go on to the website for the most updated guidance, but you can also get real-time text updates if you text the word COVID, C-O-V-I-D, to the number 692-692. Just bear in mind that messages and data rates may apply. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Dr. Rosen. Again, everyone, this is Assemblymember Rodney Spichot, and we have Councilmember Farrah Lewis. We are now going to move to our next speaker, who is Dr. Wayne Riley, who is the president of SUNY Downstate. And he's going to talk a little bit about the impact on hospitals in Central Brooklyn and what's being done at SUNY Downstate. Dr. Riley?
Yes, good evening, Honorable Assemblymember Bichotte and Councilmember Lewis. I salute you for your leadership during these very challenging times for Brooklyn and New York City and the state of New York. I want to thank Dr. Rosen and salute the New York City Department of Health for all they are doing. I am an adult medicine doctor. I'm an specialist in internal medicine, so I've taken care of many patients with infectious disease in my career, including HIV, TB, hepatitis, flu, et cetera. I want to follow on the great information that Dr. Rosen provided to underscore a few points. This is the greatest public health emergency, colleagues, of my and Dr. Rosen's professional career, and I would argue for all of our lives. We have not seen such a pathogenic, virulent, infectious disease hit the United States since 1918, when none of us were around. In 1918, we had the Spanish flu epidemic that killed almost 800,000 people in the United States. And think about it, 1918, we did not have the medical advances that we have now. We did not have as many pharmaceuticals. We did not have as many hospitals, et cetera. So this is a very serious epidemic, as I hope you all understand. I want to address something that's floating around the African-American and Black Caribbean community, and that is a rumor that black folks do not get COVID-19. There is nothing further from the truth, colleagues. All I need to say is that there are five members of the Brooklyn Nets, young men, healthy with apparently no underlying medical conditions, who have tested positive for this. So again, if there's anything that we can get out there is to make sure that the community of Brooklyn understands that anybody can get coronavirus infection and can test positive. The other thing that Dr. Rosen emphasizes is what we call pre-existing conditions. Now, colleagues, that's just a fancy term for all the things that we know that our loved ones have, such as diabetes, both type 1 and 2, asthma, sickle cell anemia, COPD, congestive heart failure, having history of cancer, breast cancer, cervical cancer, lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, etc. So all of us on this call have loved ones who have pre-existing conditions, and so the virus has been particularly punishing the patients with those types of things that I just mentioned, plus others. So it's vitally important that we protect those of our loved ones who have these pre-existing conditions, as I just enumerated, because we know they can be very, very vulnerable. The other thing that came out today, and I know Dr. Rosen is aware of this, although we thought 2 weeks ago that this disease was mostly for 60 and above, we're now seeing strong evidence that those between, let's say, 20 and into the high 30s or 40s are at risk. There are new case reports out that suggest that there's been a surprising amount of hospitalization for the younger folks. And this is new knowledge. That's how fast this changes. So, again, the social distancing is incredibly important. The other thing that Dr. Rosen said, and I will underscore this, sometimes it's estimated that 80% of the people who have COVID-19 don't know they have it. They have a little runny nose. They may just feel a little blah, but they're shedding the virus. In fact, in Westchester, in New Rochelle, that one lawyer had infected over 50 people that he came in contact with. That's how pathogenic or virulent this virus is, which is very different than flu. So again, hand washing is incredibly important. Hygiene, cleaning surfaces that you touch. Most people don't realize, I know Dr. Rosen knows this, the dirtiest thing you touch on a daily basis is your cell phone. Your cell phone has been, it's been tested scientifically that cell phones contain a lot of germs and viruses. And again, we know that the virus can live on cell phones. It can live on desktops, countertops, doorknobs, things that you and I touch on a daily basis and we don't think about. Telephones, computer keyboards. In some cases, it can live on cardboard. So, again, that's why the hand hygiene is so incredibly important with soap and water or use of hand sanitizers with at least 60% alcohol. The virus, in spite of the fact that it's so troublesome to cause disease, it is very delicate. It gets killed very easily with cleaning, with soap and water, alcohol-based products, Clorox wipes, etc. So to the extent that you can keep your workplaces clean, your homes clean, protect your family and your kids with the things you touch all day, we think that will make a big difference in addition to social distancing. Again, downstate, we're preparing. We are preparing for a surge of patients. We have dusted off our protocols. I've canceled all vacations and annual leaves for all of our doctors and nurses. It's all battle stations. To take care of the community. Just like any hospital in New York City, we're all preparing, bracing ourselves for the worst, and we'll pray and hope for that it won't be as bad. But our job as healthcare professionals is to do the best we can to take care of the patients who present to our facilities for our care. And I feel very strongly that the team that I lead at Downstate in Central Brooklyn and Flatbush is up to the task with our partner across the street, Kings County Hospital Center. Again, I salute the assembly member and the council member. These are trying times, but we will get through this together. And the medical community, public health community are united together to get us through with at least problems and disruptions and deaths and all the things that we fear as much as possible. So with that, I'll turn it back over to you, Assembly Member Bichotte, and thank you and Council Member Lewis for your terrific leadership.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Councilmember Farrell Lewis will now introduce the next speaker. Thank you, Dr. Riley.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Rosen and Dr. Riley, for all of that information. Now we're going to turn it over to Adrian Austin. Adrian is the Acting Deputy Chancellor for Community Empowerment Partnerships and Communication for the Department of Education.
Good evening. Thank you, Assemblymember Bichotte and Councilmember Lewis, for organizing this tele-town hall, and thank you to those of you that called in. I'm Adrienne Austin, Deputy Chancellor for the New York City Department of Education. Before I start, I just want to quickly thank our DOE workforce, our teachers, principals, school safety, school food, and our district and central office employees. We've spent the last week preparing to transition from a brick-and-mortar education system to virtual classrooms. It's been a monumental lift for a system this large, and so I want to thank all of the staff that are making this happen, and thanks to the parents for being patient with us. There's a huge learning curve here, and we're going to work through it together until schools open again, which at this time is projected to be April 20th. So just top lines of what's happening next week. We have free grab-and-go meals. Three meals a day, including breakfast, will be available to all New York children Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. No registration, ID, or documentation is required. All three meals can be picked up at the same time. Starting next week on Monday, the meals will be available at select school sites. Families can find out the location of those sites on our website starting tomorrow, or starting tomorrow, they can call 877-877-FOOD, again, 877-877-FOOD, or 311. That's starting on Monday. As of tomorrow, for the last time, school meals will be available at every single school, but then we're transitioning next week to select sites. Regional enrichment centers will open Monday. There will be approximately 100 regional enrichment centers across all five boroughs. Those sites are prioritizing enrollment for children of our first responders, transit, and healthcare workers. We're going to continue to provide more information in the coming days as we assess capacity, but there will be no on-site registration, so families will need to enroll in advance. On Mondays, as was said earlier, we're going to be launching remote learning. We have created student accounts for every K-12 student. The students will have access to a central Google Classroom organized by grade, unit, day, and lesson plan. Parents should have received information from their schools about how to access remote learning this week, but if you visit our website, there are tutorials and other information available to parents from everything as basic as how to use a Chromebook, laptop, or iPad to how to access the Google Classroom. I've received a lot of questions from families around special education and multilingual learner populations. Our teams are focused on finding ways to meet the needs of all of our students, and we will be providing more updates in the coming days about how we are going to be integrating supports into remote and virtual environments. There are also resources on our website, so please, families who are interested, please visit our website. Electronic devices have been passed out this week by schools. They've been giving away the laptops or lending the laptops within their inventory, but starting next week, we're going to begin distributing the 300,000 Apple iPads to students in waves. Those devices are going to be internet connected through T-Mobile already, and so families that need electronic devices should submit their requests online. The website is www.schools.nyc.gov, and that's where you can find information about how to sign up for the electronic devices, as well as how to access some of the remote learning and the tutorials around remote learning, and also where the lunches are going to be served, breakfast, lunch, and dinner starting next week. Graduation. We are in uncharted territory, and a lot of this we're still working out. I know families want to know how school closures will impact promotion from one grade to the next and graduation. As soon as we have answers on those questions, we will let you know. We're still in the beginning stages of the pandemic, and so some of this is about waiting to see how the crisis unfolds. So those are the top priorities for our upcoming weeks, and families can always visit our website or contact 311 for more information. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Oh, go ahead. Councilmember?
Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you so much, Adrienne. Thank you for that. Before we get to the next speaker, I just wanted to announce that on the state level, we have three members in the assembly who's been infected. As many of you may have seen, we have Assembly Member Charles Barron, Chairwoman of Ways and Means Helene Weinstein, and today we got word that Kimberly Jean-Pierre also got infected. And Council Member, who in the City Council is infected?
We got word that Councilmember Inez Barron was tested positive for COVID-19, as well as Councilmember Richie Torres. So we have a few other members that will be getting tested as soon as possible. So we'll keep you all updated on that.
Thank you. And now for our next speaker, we have Reggie Thomas, who is the Senior Vice President of Government Affairs for the Real Estate Board of New York. He will give you a little bit information about evictions moratorium, who I believe they signed a 90-day moratorium, talk a little bit about the services with DHCR and HPD, as well as health safety in the buildings. Reggie?
Great. Thank you, Clay Member, and thank you to you and the Council Member for hosting tonight's telecall. It was actually even educational for me, and I'm learning things every day about this, so thank you for this. So the Real Estate Board of New York is a trade organization that represents commercial and residential property owners, building managers, and brokers. And as the Council Member noted, just wanted to briefly cover a few high-level topics. The first is eviction proceedings. We understand firsthand how troubling this time is for New Yorkers, and that's why last week, REBNY members that represented over 155,000 rental apartments in the city announced that they wouldn't execute any warrants of eviction for 90 days unless it's for behavior that jeopardizes the safety of other residents. And this past Monday, Chief Administrative Judge Marks suspended eviction proceedings for both residential and commercial tenants statewide until further notice. With all the stress, health risk, and economic suffering that's going on right now, we don't want anyone to ever have to worry about losing their place to live in during this crisis. We want all New Yorkers to focus on taking care of yourselves and your families. New Yorkers have two critical agencies that provide a lot of oversight and regulation of housing in the city, and that includes the State Department of Housing and Community Renewal, which is known as DHCR, as well as the city's Department of Housing Preservation and Development, also known as HPD. I was just speaking with a representative from HPD before the call, and they're taking a number of steps to make sure that the continuity of their housing and enforcement work doesn't get hurt during this time. Tenants have many, many rights related to the safety and quality of their housing. For example, hot water is always required, and heat is required during this heat season. I know it was a little warmer today, but as a reminder for everyone, heat season lasts through May 31st. Building owners must heat their apartments during the day if the temperature drops below 55 degrees. And after 10 p.m., regardless of the outside temperature, building owners must still keep their apartment temperatures to at least 62 degrees. It's important that if you have any issues whatsoever, you should call HPD. You can always contact them through their website, but also you should always call 301 because it's important that even though we're in sort of an emergency crisis mode, every tenant still has the right to making sure they live in a safe, comfortable housing accommodation. One thing that we've heard from a lot of the constituents and from New Yorkers is how we can kind of keep our buildings healthy during this time. Building owners are following the city and CDC recommendations to keep their buildings safe. So, for example, maintenance staff are regularly disinfecting high-touch surface areas like door handles, mailboxes, elevator buttons. They're doing things like providing hand sanitizer for employees and even for residents at times. And they're also increasing the frequency of cleaning within their buildings. But I have to emphasize, nothing beats what the prior medical professionals have advised everyone on this call. It's so incredibly important to make sure that you're washing your hands, that if you're feeling ill, that you're taking care of yourself and seeking medical advisement, that you're following all the directions from the governor and the mayor about making sure that you keep yourself healthy, but just as importantly, you're keeping family members healthy and other New Yorkers healthy as well. With that being said, again, I want to thank the assembly member and the council member for inviting us on the call, and I'll turn it back to the elected officials.
Thank you so much, Reggie. We really appreciate that. So our next presenter will be Sarah Feinberg, the interim president from the MTA.
Hi, thanks so much for having me, and thanks so much for putting this together. So hello to everyone, and I'm so pleased that so many people are still engaging with their elected officials this way. I know it's a hard moment, and this is a really good way to get good information out there. I want to address a couple of things tonight. First, I want to tell everyone that we are operating regular service tomorrow. So tomorrow, Friday, will be a regular day for us. We've been operating regular service throughout this crisis. Ridership has fallen way off. So the subway ridership as of yesterday was down 71%. Bus ridership as of yesterday was down almost 60%. We expect that to stay about where it is. It might continue to drop even more, or it may have bottomed out. You know, to the extent that that means people are heeding the advice of their of the medical experts and their own doctors and the governor and the leaders who are here tonight to stay home, to telework if they can, to avoid large crowds, we view that as good news. It means that if you are riding the system, it's probably because you're an essential worker, you're a healthcare worker, you're a first responder, a police officer, a transit worker. And so we want to make sure we continue to operate to keep those folks moving and to keep them safe. In terms of going forward, we will make sure that we give people notice and let them know if we cut back on service for any reason. If we did that, it would be in reaction to our own workers being unable to come to work either because they're ill or because they've been quarantined, or because ridership has fallen so much that it's important for us to just change our service to adapt to that. But we'll make sure that we always let people know as early as we possibly can. I want to address a couple additional things tonight. One is I know there's been an interest in AccessoRide and how that program continues in this crisis. Obviously, we continue to offer AccessoRide to our riders, to our customers. We had previously sometimes booked multiple customers in an AccessoRide vehicle. So actually, most recently, about 70% of the time, AccessoRide customers have a vehicle to themselves along with an aide or a person who's accompanying them. 30% of the time, we double up AccessoRide customers because it makes sense for the driver or for the fluidity of the trip. We have stopped booking those shared rides over the last couple of days. Many of you may have seen that the announcement was made that Lyft and Uber would stop pooling rides. We were a couple hours behind that. We analyzed whether it made sense to continue shared rides, even though we weren't doing a great deal of them, and it made sense to us to stop them as well. Those customers who use AccessoRide can be particularly vulnerable. They may be recovering from an illness or an injury. They may have some other immunity issues, and so it just makes sense to keep people as safe as we possibly can. So we made that change, and it's now in effect. So again, if you use AccessoRide, if you're an AccessoRide customer, you are absolutely free to bring an aide with you, to bring a companion with you on your ride, but we're no longer going to be doing shared rides. Second, I wanted to also just mention how we're going about disinfecting and cleaning our cars, our stations, our buses. So prior to the COVID crisis, we were doing regular nightly cleanings of our stations, regular sweeping out and cleaning of our rail cars, regular cleanings of our buses. Now that we're in the midst of this pandemic, we've doubled down and in some cases tripled down on our cleaning. So this is what we're doing. Every single night, every subway station is disinfected. All of the places where customers are likely to touch, so railings, turnstiles, benches, if as someone who's a rider of the subway system, you're likely to touch it, we're disinfecting it every single night. We're also disinfecting it at least once during the day. So generally, every 8 to 12 hours, the station that you use is being disinfected. We're also doing deep cleaning of our cars. So we were always doing regular cleaning of our cars. Now we're doing really deep disinfecting cleaning of our cars at least every 72 hours. We're doing the same thing for our buses. So, you know, I applaud the 51,000 people who work at New York City Transit. Not only are they moving the city, continuing to move our essential personnel and doing it safely and efficiently, they've also doubled and tripled the way that we're cleaning stations and disinfecting to keep everyone safe. I think those are the highlights, and I look forward to hearing the rest of the speakers. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Tara, and we also applaud all the MTA workers for their diligence and hard work during this difficult time. Now we're going to hear from Greg.
Councilmember? All right, I just wanted everybody to know on the call that this is the president of MTA who is speaking. I think some people didn't hear a title. So the president of MTA, Sarah Feinberg, was the one who was just speaking about the transit system. Go ahead.
Thank you so much. And I'm sorry about that. I should have been a little bit louder. She is the president of the MTA.
Let me know if people couldn't hear me. I'm happy to repeat anything that was missed.
And Sarah, are you the interim president or it's official now?
I'm the interim. Quite a time to take a new job. Well, we look forward to the official. Now we're going to hear from Greg Bishop, who is the Commissioner of Small Business Services for New York City. And in these difficult times, our district has been impacted by this crisis. So I want to thank Commissioner Bishop for just his hard work and his leadership for helping our local businesses get through this time. So, Commissioner Bishop.
Thank you, Councilmember Lewis and Assemblymember Bashat. Thank you for, as all the speakers who have said, thank you for your leadership in putting this call together and advocating for your constituents. It's important to have elected officials who are working closely with government and bringing resources to their district. So I appreciate all that you do. And of course, good evening, everyone, and good evening to the speakers who are on the line as well. We are actively working to keep government going through this unprecedented time. And as the council member said, we are well aware that a significant amount of small businesses have really been severely impacted by this crisis. We've not seen this before, and I think as the earlier speakers mentioned, we've not seen this in our lifetime. We have, at Small Business Services, reacted to disasters, and we will continue to do that. And what we have done so far is focus a lot on how can we get capital to small businesses. So what we have done is really think and figure out different ways we can not only reach businesses, but get to the capital that we need. So the first thing I will say is that if there's any business owners on this call that are impacted by COVID-19, you should visit nyc.gov/COVID-19BIZ. I'll say that again slower, nyc.gov/COVID-19BIZ. That is where we are posting all our information on the different programs that are launching, either through the city, the state, or the federal government. I've been in touch with the state. The governor actually signed a declaration, which was approved today by the SBA. By this evening, we will have updated information on how businesses can apply for SBA loans that have a 3% interest rate and repayment terms of 20 to 30 years and to help you get the capital that you need. We have, as a city, we have a couple programs that we launched. We know we will have to do more, and we will continue to launch additional programs, but we do have a grant application open. You can go to that same website, nyc.gov/COVID-19BIZ, and click on the link to apply. That is for small businesses with fewer than 5 employees. We will cover 40% of your payroll costs, and you have to demonstrate that there's been a 25% or more decline in your revenues, and you do have to be in business for a minimum of 6 months. That grant is also open to small nonprofits as well. So I just wanted to make sure that people know that. Typically, we focus a lot on for-profits, but because we know we need to provide a lot of support to businesses, we are included in small nonprofits in that grant. We are also focused a lot on getting capital. So sometime next week, the team has been working not only long hours, but remotely, because we want to make sure we protect our workers as well, to focus on opening the application for a loan of up to $75,000 at a 0% interest rate. You have to be located in the 5 boroughs, also have to demonstrate that you have 25% decrease in sales or more, but this program is now open for larger businesses that have fewer than 100 employees. So if you're a very small business or a large business, there are two programs that will be that is available and will be available for you. We expect that we will get more capital from the federal government, and I've been working closely with our federal partners to help deliver economic aid to New York City in the form of grants and loans. So more to come. The best source of information is that website that I gave you, which is nyc.gov/COVID-19biz. I think there were some questions about price gouging as well. For the enterprising entrepreneurs out there, I just want to remind you that on March 16th, the Department of Consumer Worker Protection announced an emergency rule under the city's consumer protection law, and the rule effective immediately makes price gouging illegal for any personal or household good or any service that is needed to prevent or limit the spread or threat of the new coronavirus. It is illegal to increase prices of these types of goods and services by 10% or more. If you're a consumer and you think a store, including an online business, has excessively increased the price of these items beginning in March, you can file an overcharge complaint with the city, or you can report that price gouging to the state attorney general. The number is 212-416-8000. Again, thank you very much for all that you do for for your constituents. And if anyone has any questions, you can either call 311 or go to that website and submit a form, and we'll be happy to respond to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Commissioner Bishop, and we look forward to those capital resources being funneled right down to our district. Thank you so much, and we look forward to working with you. Now we're going to hear from the Commissioner of TLC. Her name is LLC Haradia Dremershek. Forgive me if I butchered that.
No, it's totally fine. Good evening, everyone, and thank you, Council Member and Assembly Member and speakers and everybody who is listening. We appreciate that you're taking this time to be with us for information and to keep community building and responding to this crisis. With respect to the TLC, you know, there's no sugarcoating the fact that the world is changing around us and that drivers are amongst the hardest hit and need a lot of support. So we're looking to see all the different ways that we can be helpful while maintaining public safety. We are developing a registry for our drivers so that we can point them to alternative income streams over the course of the next week and the weeks ahead. There are a lot of services that are going to be required across the city that could use and utilize drivers, and TLC will be supporting those efforts. Over the past week, we've worked with the Big Ops to ensure that they are ensuring public safety and worked out agreements with Uber and Lyft to stop the ride shares, and those were codified through an emergency order the mayor issued a few days ago. We are continuing to ensure that passengers and riders that need to get to their destinations will have those. We have guidance that has gone out to all of our drivers and TLC licensees on how to sanitize their vehicles. We are hard at work and trying to ensure that everybody is maintaining the city's top priority right now, and that's to stop the spread of infection. And so we're encouraging our drivers to take all the precautions that all of the reopeners are taking. And we'll stay very close and keep communicating with everyone in the days ahead to see how we can best support them. I'm happy to take any questions if anyone has them.
Thank you so much, Commissioner Dremershek, for all of that information. We do have a lot of TLC drivers in our district and in our community, so we look forward to staying in contact with you to get more information. And last but not least, our last speaker is Pam Brewer. She is the Senior Advisor for Policy and Intergovernmental Affairs for the Mayor's Office of Public Engagement. Pam.
Hi, good evening, everyone. Thank you to Assemblymember Bichat and Councilmember Lewis for hosting a very important call, to my colleagues in city government who are on the line as well. Councilmember Lewis, you may remember me a couple weeks ago. We were at Midwood High School together doing student voter registration, and it was a pleasure to meet you and work with you then. Our office's core mission is to we normally do this through proactive outreach through the five boroughs, coupled with strong case management. And we regularly collaborate with the offices of your elected officials to reach more constituents who may need assistance navigating city government and enrolling in benefits, which we realize, of course, is more important than ever during a time like this. So my goal here tonight, and I'll try to be as brief as possible, I have a few things to get through, but I know we're about at time. Or the scheduled end time anyway. But my goal is to communicate that our office is still here for you, the residents of Central Brooklyn and New Yorkers in general, and I'll just quickly run through what that looks like in terms of our core outreach initiatives for those who are probably not familiar with, too familiar with our office. And again, I would caveat, as others have done on this call, that all of this information is the best we know today. Things are changing day by day and hour by hour. So in order to protect the health and safety of our staff, who normally operate on the front lines and in the field, as well as the New Yorkers we serve every day, we, along with the majority of our agency partners, such as the Department of Finance and HPD, will not be hosting in-person events or conducting door-to-door outreach, which is normally part of our standard outreach operations. This just means we've moved our outreach operations indoors, but we're still fully functioning. Our staff are available to assist you, the constituents over the phone, to connect you to key city services, including the New York City Rent Freeze Program, commonly known as SCRE and DRE, for tenants, as well as the Property Tax Exemption Program for homeowners, both of those, of course, managed by the New York City Department of Finance. We also help with access to the city's free legal assistance for those who may be facing eviction or potential displacement, that we work in close partnership with the HRA's Office of Civil Justice, who administers those that funding. As you already heard from our speaker, Mr. Thomas of Revenue, we're very pleased about the eviction moratorium, something that the mayor and the city had strongly advocated for. And lastly, we help with accessing affordable health insurance through the Get Covered NYC program, which you may have seen. You may have seen the ads, particularly during the open enrollment season, throughout subways and buses, et cetera. So that breaks down into three core programs. Each one is a different team of staff with special expertise. And I'm going to provide the hotline numbers to reach those staff directly. So please, if anyone is interested, you know, have a pen ready if you'd like to take those down. So with Rent Freeze, if you need assistance applying for these programs, they still remain fully available and open for application year-round. Those are for low-income seniors and those with disabilities. You can reach our outreach team, the PU's Rent Freeze team, at 929-252-7242. I know that the Assembly Member and Council Member were particularly interested in hearing updates from the city regarding these programs, particularly for the senior constituents. We know that in-person enrollment events tend to be very effective at reaching eligible seniors and tenants with disabilities, but given that we cannot hold such events, Department of Finance and our office public engagement unit will be working closely with our elected officials in order to be responsive to constituent needs and ensure that we are still reaching folks who need housing and rent relief during this time. For homeowners, the deadline just passed, the homeowners tax exemption for seniors and homeowners with disabilities. That said, our team is still standing by and ready to assist because we can start applications to be processed for the next tax year. And those who may have submitted a partial application or aren't sure of the status, we can help with that as well. Again, that number is for the Rent Freeze, SCRE, DRE, and Homeowners Tax Exemption efforts. That hotline is 929-252-7242. And those normal business hours are Tuesday through Saturday, 10:30 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. And then if you're a tenant who just needs help more broadly outside of those rent freeze programs with things like repairs, potential fear of eviction, or if you have general questions related to your rights as a tenant in New York City, we have another team of outreach specialists ready to assist. This team works closely with our counterparts at HRA and the Homebase program to help tenants navigate public assistance and emergency financial assistance, all of those programs that help keep folks stably housed. In the interest of time, I wanted to note that I know folks are interested to hear how HRA is adjusting its operations and easing access to benefits in light of the crisis. I cannot speak directly for HRA. However, me and my office, we work with them regularly. And the best thing you can really do is keep checking nyc.gov/HRA. Their main page right now is being updated in real time as soon as they're able to get it out. There's some key information regarding switch to in-person appointments, the fact that HRA is not taking any negative case actions against current clients. These are often known as sanctions. So HRA is automatically granting good cause to clients who are unable to attend in-office appointments. And clients have been notified via their Access HRA account. The city knows that more New Yorkers will be applying for benefits as a result of this economic dislocation caused by COVID-19. So DSS asked for and received permission to permit cash assistance applications by telephone and online. And the agency is actually in the process of standing this up this week. So please, please keep checking the website because there will be more on that very soon. Okay. Again, if you are a tenant and you feel that you're at imminent risk of eviction or have questions about your rights, please reach our tenant support unit. And this is a different hotline than the rent freeze hotline. The number is 212-331-6236. Again, 212-331-6236. Okay, and lastly, our Get Covered NYC team is here to help uninsured New Yorkers get enrolled in affordable coverage through the marketplace, as well as connections to the NYC Care Program, which is, we're excited, is now available in Brooklyn at all health and hospital facilities. As some folks may have already seen, New York State actually announced this week that the official health insurance marketplace will reopen for a special enrollment period due to the COVID-19 public health crisis until April 15th, and coverage would start April 1st. As folks may know, low-income New Yorkers who qualify for Medicaid, CHIP, and the Essential Plan are still eligible to enroll year-round, of course. In addition, the state has put in place phone enrollments for people who would normally require in-person assistance. So if you or anyone you know it may be uninsured or needs access to health care, you can reach out to our Get Covered NYC team, and the best way to do that is by calling 311 and asking for Get Covered, or you can visit nyc.gov/getcoveredNYC. So I will pause there. Thank you again to the Assembly Member and Council Member for their strong leadership, for having all of us on this call, and for coming together at this critical time for our communities.
Thank you so much for all of that information. And now I would like to hand it off to our Assemblymember, Rodney Bouchard.
Thank you, Councilmember Farrah Lewis. Thank you to all the speakers. I have three announcements before I leave, we all leave. So just so you know, the DMV, as of 3/18, it will be only by appointment. And Brooklyn Atlantic and License Express District office is closed, okay? So that's something that everybody should know. DMV, as of 3/18, March 18th, will only be by appointment. Second, just so people who are homeowners, the governor announced a 90-day mortgage relief, waiving mortgage payments based on your financial hardship for 90 days. More information to come. This will waive fees for overdrafts, ATMs, credit cards, and a whole bunch of other financial consumer debt type of instruments. And lastly, do not forget to fill out your census. You can actually fill it out online at my2020census.gov, my2020census.gov, or you can call 1-844-330-2020. Again, 1-844-330-2020. It's in many different languages, Spanish, Haitian, Russian, Arabic, and more. So we will certainly put the information on the website. And I just want to thank again everyone, all the constituents, all New Yorkers and visitors for dialing in. We have a number of questions that were sent. Some of them were answered, but we will make sure that they're answered, and we will post the answers on the website. and send your individual question to you with the answers. Again, I want to thank everyone. I want to thank the panels. I want to thank the team. Councilmember Farrah Lewis, my partner, thank you so much. So it was great working with you. And and I think that's it. Is there any last-minute things, Lisa?
I just wanted to remind everyone that this call will be available in recording on both Assemblymember Rodney Spichot's office as well as Councilmember Farrah Lewis's office within within a day. Please also note that this call, again, is dated. Due to the fact that there are a lot of changes from hour to hour, I just want to remind everybody, if they're going to be checking the recording at the time, things could have been changed and updated. So feel free to go to agencies' websites to get updates or reach out to either of our offices. That concludes the call for this evening. Thank you all for joining in. Be safe. Have a great evening.
Thank you, everyone.